Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's a snapshot no one wanted to see, but many expected. Hospitals in Mississippi, Oklahoma, and Tennessee now nearing capacity. In El Paso, Texas, mobile morgues are being set up outside treatment centers. 154 bodies were being held there as of Tuesday. A stay-at-home order there has been extended until next month. As COVID-19 cases soar, epidemiologist Michael Osterholm, a new Biden COVID advisor, is calling this time COVID hell. We haven't heard a word from sitting President Donald Trump, and the head of the coronavirus task force, Mike Pence, is reportedly focused on helping the president contest last week's election. But Lori Garrett has been sounding the alarm since the first days of the pandemic. She's a Pulitzer Prize-winning science author and authority on global health and pandemics. And Lori, I welcome you back with caution because when we first spoke months ago, your hair was on fire. I can't imagine how you feel now. How would you characterize where we are now?
Robin, we're in exponential growth. We are in a situation unlike anything we have faced in this epidemic to date, and frankly, unlike anything we've faced in many, many, many years. The closest would be where we were with the H1N1 swine flu in 2009, which was fortunately a rather benign microorganism. Where we are now is that we are in an all 50 states at once epidemic. Every state is showing increases. In at least 43 states, the increases are at or approaching exceeding their immediate hospitalization capacities. I'm talking to you from New York, where we had a terrible, terrible spring, as everybody knows. We got through it in large part because it was possible to recruit healthcare workers from neighboring states. But now, every state needs additional healthcare workers. Every state needs more morgue capacity, more funeral parlor operators, more coroners. The list goes on and on and on. And so, in many ways, the scenario that President Trump imposed on the nation is now playing out. States' rights. Well, now we have states' rights, as in you have a right to run your own epidemic any way you choose. Don't expect leadership from us. You're on your own. Well, now they really are. Now, the sort of cooperative mechanisms that many governors set up that helped them get through the last two surges won't make any difference because nobody can share. Nobody has extra masks, extra ventilators, extra supplies of essential drugs, extra nurses, extra doctors. So we are heading into a winter of true hell. I mean, the gates of Hades have opened.
But Lori, I hear you, but put aside the lack of leadership, the politicizing of masks. Why has this happened? I've been hung up on, and maybe I'm wrong, the fact that because this is so contagious, we're not seeing it as much. We're not seeing people not able to breathe. People can't go into hospitals and do the reporting that they'd like to do. Why, in your mind, are we here?
I think there's two things. As you pointed out, the majority of people who are infected have no outward symptoms. In fact, even people who are quite severely ill, you know, may actually be able to sit in on a Zoom call. And you look at them on that Zoom call and you say, yeah, they're still working. But they're very, very sick. And we now know they're sick in ways that are going to have, for many of them, lasting impact, possibly permanent impact. So we are seeing a strange situation where up to 60% of all transmission of this virus is coming from people with no outward symptoms of any kind. And that means that it's easy to minimize it and say, I don't see people dropping dead in front of a bus. This isn't so bad. It is very invisible. The second part of that is that the only countries that have done well in fighting off COVID are countries that have had national policies that were decided at the top and were uniformly executed across the entire nation.
You've been tweeting and writing about the really clear difference between Canada and the U.S. There's a huge amount of disease on one line, you know, across the border into the U.S. You go just a few miles and it's completely different.
That was the case. Now, unfortunately, all of North America is getting spillover from us. We now are in an all of North America disaster that won't come down until we control ours. If you look at countries that have done extremely well, take Japan, for example, or Iceland, South Korea. These are all places where public health systems have executed policies the same from one village to the next. They knew that whatever pain they were going through, the guy down at the next county was going through the same pain. We don't have that. We have a situation where Sturgis could say, sure, bring 450,000 maskless motorcycle riders and have them all crowd into a town that normally only has a couple of thousand people in it and let them party for a week with heavy amounts of alcohol. And oh, right, not a single one is going to wear a mask. And that's okay, says the Dakotas. Well, now where do we see the highest per capita rates of this soaring epidemic and deaths? It's the Dakotas.
And the Sturgis bike rally was in South Dakota, and people died after that from COVID.
And cases went to neighboring states as the bikers returned home, so that Minnesota and Indiana and Wisconsin and Michigan, all these states from which people biked to South Dakota, suffered. Where we are now, and my great fear for immediate short-term forecasting is this. It is not a government that has much attention placed to the COVID crisis. This epidemic is soaring at such a pace that by Christmas, we could well have 400,000 cumulatively dead Americans, be seeing death rates at about 2,000 or more daily, and have such an out-of-control situation that when Joe Biden steps in, he'll inherit the sort of disease equivalent of what Barack Obama inherited from George Bush in the financial sector.
Okay, real quick, we'll link people to your writing. You're one of many saying the news about a vaccine is great news. However, with many caveats, including we don't yet know how to refrigerate it. You know, we don't know how to distribute it. And even if the vaccine is fully rolled out, we'll still have to wear masks, which, by the way, there's new reporting that the masks are to protect the wearer as much as protecting the people around the wearer. But what else, given that there's however many days till January, what else can people do right now?
Absolutely everybody has to revisit their plans for Thanksgiving and Christmas and whatever other holidays they're celebrating and say, nope, we're not going to travel. We're going to have to figure out another way to share these sacred holidays with our loved ones, because I otherwise think that we're going to look at Thanksgiving and say, this is the moment when we took a super spreader and made it an international super spreading event. And there are a lot of creative ways to think about how to have family, warmth, love, sharing, and feasting without actually putting your five-year-old and your grandmother in the same room together. The second thing is everybody is going to have to take a deep breath and think carefully about what this outdoor eating and restaurants is, what this outdoor entertainment is, and recognize that it's all going to be pretty tough to adhere to as temperatures drop below freezing. Mm. And what can you do as an alternative with friends that gives you a sense of community and helps you to get through this very, very tough winter?
New reporting shows that restaurants are the main spreader of the coronavirus, four times more than, you know, for instance, other places people might go, like salons.
Also, private parties. You think you know all your friends, you think you know all your family, and you think that, you know, well, they're all safe and cool. No, if you haven't been together for weeks on end, somebody in that group is likely to be carrying virus. The moment you start hugging someone you haven't seen for weeks, yes, it's good for your soul and for your heart, and we all long for it. But that is the moment when you are sharing a risk and a threat that wasn't there before you had that hug.
And we want the hug so bad. But Lori Garrett, we hear you. Just for a while, just for a while longer, Let's get through this. Laurie Garrett, Pulitzer Prize winning author of The Coming Plague. Laurie, always great to have you on A Reality Check. Thank you.
Thank you.